All right, it's time for our next and final talk. Robert Hensing is going to talk about LeakSOps 4. He's going to give a bit longer introduction of himself. Round of applause for the speaker, please. And have a little time.
All right, yeah, so this is about LeakSOps 4, the why, what, and a little bit of how. I'm Robert Hensing. I've created Hercules CI. I'm on the Nix steering committee in the Nix team, and I work on these projects, the modular services and single package fixed point, like small things that I'm currently paying a bit of attention to. So if you're interested, you can talk to me about those. And this talk is about LeakSOps 4. And that's work that's sponsored by the Fair Diversity Project, which is these organizations. And they're a really cool project, because I think, I've highlighted this. This is from the website. So what I try and do is provide tooling for hosted cloud services. So this is not like home lab stuff, but more for hosting providers. It's all based on NixOS. And it's about, I think, a pretty like sort of civilizational topic, especially in like recent days. About making social media sovereign. Is Kun in the room? So there's also a sub grant program.
If you're in
like half a minute, if you, or in the end, yeah, that's fine. Yep. Good. So LeakSOps 4. What is it? It's a deployment tool. You should know that it is still a work in progress. This is like very early stages, and I would not recommend to use it. It's very unfinished. It's the successor to NixOps, and it combines a few concepts. I wouldn't say that it's novel, but it integrates a couple of ideas that make it work really well for deployments. So why? You might have heard of NixOps, and NixOps 1 is a tool for deploying NixOS systems. It does provisioning. It can deploy secrets for you, and also has a bit of support for doing some things around that, like adding DNS entries in some cloud provider or whatever, which that kind of works, but it never really took off. And it had a bit of trouble around testing and CI. Because that was basically just a bit underdeveloped. So it was hard to maintain because of that. And it means that pull requests got stuck. And basically the project failed. It's still bad. I think also part of the reason was the code base. It was written in Python, which is probably fine. It's an okay language. I'm personally not much of a fan. But I noticed that a lot of other contributors had sort of the same thoughts, and probably part of this was caused by the way it was set up. It had some tooling set up in the repo to add types, but the way it was set up, it was causing some issues that people thought their PR was bad or something, even if it was actually fine. It caused a lot of friction. And the main issue why I thought that this had to be a rewrite is the way it integrated with Nix. It called the evaluator twice, which is both too few times and too many, right? Because you might think, just call it once and it should be fine, right? But if you have a deployment that has some interdependencies, you might not have all the information at the right time. So you potentially need, unbounded, I guess, but finite number of invocations to make that work. Integrating through the Nix CLI is just not the way to go. And that means large architectural changes to implement that. So, before that, there was an effort to solve some of the problems in NixOps with plugins, but that turned the whole thing into a multi-repo setup, and that actually makes things even harder to change. So I have to apologize for this picture. This is the way it works, right? You have a superclass and some subclasses, but the superclass is in one repo, the subclasses are in another. You have these two Nixon configurations. It was a mess. I deeply apologize for the picture. Because I mean, I only took maintenance. I took over maintenance in a year after this, and the people before this they put a lot of effort to make it better, but it was a bit too late. They really did a good job, it just could not be saved. So I in 2021 I was still very optimistic about it. And it was still the only tool that like really integrates Nix and provisioning, which is something that I badly needed. So I figured, well, I'll join the maintainers and make sure that it stays live. Maybe it can grow again. So that's what I did. So let's take a step back and. See what kind of architecture can actually come up with for NixOps 4, right? So in NixOps 2, it was basically, the way you could put it, it was a deployment script that was made like more general and more configurable, but at its core, it was basically like a deployment script. And I figured for a successor, that should be more of an engineer thing. And for this week, we can take a look at the Nix architecture, which is actually very successful. So the way Nix works is you use the Nix expression language. Can I use my pointer here? Bye, pointer. Yeah, so use the expression language to create function calls that create derivations. Derivations refer to other derivations through store paths, and then Nix uses a sandbox and just the Nix store to make all that happen. And so for NixOps 4, we extend that architecture. So now we also use the Nix expression language to configure resources. I'll get into what those are later. And similar to how it works in Nix, these resources are processes that that you can write. Similar to how like a derivation builder can be anything that you write as well. So it's decoupled in that way. And that's a big difference between NixOps 4 and the old NixOps, is this decoupling. This will enable other people to write resources without being tied to too many architectural details. Right, so what is a resource? A resource is a declaration of a real-world object that's supposed to exist, and it has basically the CRUD operations. These operations are implemented in the resource. When you're using a resource, you don't really have to think about it. It is still declarative, as you know, with the Nix language, that's sort of what you get, right? It's declarative. And so NixOps is responsible for connecting all these operations and sort of the data flow between them. So deployment is a collection of resources. And besides the CRUD operations, it'll also have sort of a Nix run-like capability, which is great for scripting. And you can you'll be able to use that for things like backup or key rotation or really any sort of operation that you have to do on a deployment. You can use the values from that deployment to implement your script. Resource Provider is a program that's built with Nix. As you remember in the architecture, the middle layer, Nix calls it. It talks a very simple protocol, just JSON over the standard input and output streams. And yeah, so when using it, it looks something like this. So you may have a flake. And yeah, this attribute here, it's the default deployment. That's just a name. If you don't specify a name on the command line, you get the default deployment. yeah, and here you can see it's a function that takes as an argument the resources and uses that to declare the resources. This is what you might call a fixed point, and NixOps is responsible for connecting those together. Nix is a lazy language, which is the reason why this can even work. And when we sort of zoom in onto that resources function, in practice it'll look something like this. We're using the module system as well, so here you see that we're importing something from another flake, which helps with doing an express deployment. And it specifies the details for how that deployment should look. And then you can add more resources. So there's an example right where you have this dependency, because you're going to need the SSH key pair for doing the NixOS deployment. And that's something you can declare in a single deployment expression. NixOps is what we call a stateful deployment tool, which means that it can track the existence of things so that when you, for example, when you remove something from your configuration, it can take care of removing those things in the real world as well. Also has some advantages where you can create a diff between the old state and the new state more easily. It is optional. If you're only using resources that don't rely on state, you can get away without it. And that's also the way that you bootstrap the state in the first place. Here in the example, we're using an S3 object to store the state, so that makes sure that everyone who works with the deployment is sort of using the same view of what's in there. So because we're using the module system, you can also do some of your own domain-specific stuff in those expressions, and sort of split up according to your needs. I'll skip this one. That's takes too long to explain. I'll be happy to explain it later outside. Nix gives you the old Nix development